CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We set this time aside every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? Maybe someone's asked you a question, you've come across something in the Bible you don't understand, that's why we're here. And we like to just talk to you. We enjoy this because, getting together as a family and sharing God's word is so important, and know the reason why we believe what we believe. And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, we got a couple lines open, 888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest and again, featured speaker here on CSN in the Morning Times, we have with us Daryl Skinner from A Chosen Generation. Hi and welcome, Mike. Daryl. Daryl. I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm tracking with you, man. Hey, it's good to be with you. Looking forward to the program today. And the great questions always come in. It's a great blessing to be a part of the program. And looking forward to being with Mike also.
Yeah.
Mike and Mike.
Yeah. And also joining us, dear friend, Mike McIntosh. I'm so glad you're with us today. Former pastor, senior pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego, California, ministries all over the world. And Mike, you know, you made such an impact in my life. Yes. And I'm so grateful to have you on the program with us today. Hi and welcome. Oh, I think we lost you. Well, Mike's going to get back hooked up with us here in a second, and we'll do that. But Daryl, great to have you with us today. What's going on in Honolulu?
Well, things are cooking. We're just finished our Easter services, of course. You know, a while back I wasn't with you last Thursday, and we're looking forward to what God has for us here right now. We're doing a special love series on Sunday mornings. I'm going to be talking about loving God with all your strength this Sunday morning coming up. Looking forward to that. And I just finished a Church Power series on Wednesday night. So we talked about evangelism as the ninth part of the series. And the Lord is good. Our school is getting geared up for graduation coming up here in May. We have a school with 3-year-olds all the way to the high school. And then we also have a VBS coming in June. So Vacation Bible School is always an exciting time. A lot of kids come out. So we're just seeing what the Lord has and just moving forward, Mike. How about yourself?
Amen. Amen. So important. So anyhow, well, until we get Mike back with us, hopefully we can get this fixed. We're going to go ahead and go to the phones. We have Joni on the line in Richardson, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi. How can we help?
I just wanted to get your thoughts on something. We know that when Jesus rose from the dead, he said he would leave the Comforter for us, and he sent his Holy Spirit to the church. Is that right?
So yes. Far?
Okay.
Yes.
And my question is, after the rapture, the church is gone. What happens to the Holy Spirit?
I believe that it's by and through the Holy Spirit that we are convicted of sin. And I do know that according to Revelation, certainly chapter 6, there's a lot of people that accept Christ during the tribulation period. So I've got to be I've got to be aware that the Holy Spirit is still working within people on this earth. You know, it's God's heart that none would perish, but all would come to eternal life. Unfortunately, I think what happens is that we think that nobody's going to be saved during the tribulation period, and there is a huge number. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yes, the Holy Spirit will still be working during the tribulation, although the restraining work that he does against lawlessness will now be removed, because the lawless one will then rise to power, which speaks of the Antichrist, is according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the Antichrist will have his way on planet Earth at that time, because he who now restrains is the Holy Spirit, which is in the church, which we are the bride of Christ. We're going to be raptured up. Thus, that restraining work is now no longer in existence. And then the Spirit of God will still be here operating during the tribulation, and people, Gentiles and Jews, many Jews are going to be saved, by the way, because there's going to be 144,000 Jews that will be preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, telling the Jewish people that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, is their Messiah. And that'll be taking place during the tribulation. So many, many, many Jews will be saved. And then you have also the Gentiles being saved. And this is the Spirit of God still working his work of conviction, of righteousness, judgment, and so forth, of sin. And people will be saved during that time period, during the tribulation. They're known as the tribulation saints, or also many will be tribulation martyrs. So we see the working of the Holy Spirit throughout the tribulation period. The Spirit of God is always working. Mike?
Amen. So I believe the Holy Spirit is still very much alive on planet Earth. We do know that you have the witnesses warning people in the streets of Jerusalem to repent. You have the 144,000 Jews that are in service to God during that time. If people couldn't be saved during that time, or the Holy Spirit wasn't working, I don't see any purpose for any of those things to go on. But we do know that that is. Mike, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I was bumped. Well,
that's all right,
Zoom,
Mike. We're so glad, as I said earlier, Mike McIntosh, former pastor of Horizon International Fellowship, ministry that extended around the world. And Mike, I'm so glad you're with us. You made such an impact in my life as well. And we are talking with Jamie, who asked the question, what's the Holy Spirit doing during the tribulation period after the rapture? Your thoughts?
Well, I was going to add a little to what you just said. Most people miss this. In Revelation 11:3, he says that I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they're going to actually prophesy for 1,260 days, and they're going to be very humble. It tells us they're dressed in sackcloth. And it's interesting that I'm teaching effective leadership class at Horizon University, and I'm just now grading papers on the level 3 students that are coming through the third level of it. And this was one of their assignments, and not one of them saw the personal aspect of God's love anywhere with the judgment. And what you said was, and Daryl mentioned, the Holy Spirit would be moving. The 144,000 will be here. But these are the last two human beings that give the word of God, and their lives are taken from them. And the world is so hard-hearted, even though that God was still trying to save them, they started another holiday like Christmas and gave presents out to each other. However, he didn't stop there. After the humans, the last creatures, were gone, he had an angel circling the globe preaching. And we always have to remember that little subtlety of what is God saying here? What does it mean to those people? We got to realize that's going to be billions of people that are going to be in torment for eternity in hell. And the rich man said, could you send somebody to my five brothers into my father's house? And Abraham responded to that man in hell crying out for help. It's a little late to be an evangelist once you've gone to hell, but at least it showed he knew what he should have done. But the Lord reminds us that even if we sent somebody from the dead, the people still won't believe. But yet, God's love goes on for eternity, and these people choose to miss it. That's what gets me about it. He's always there working, even in the worst situations.
Amen. Deborah, I hope that answers it for you.
Well, yes.
Excuse me, Joni, that's what I meant.
That's okay. We had some debate, and, someone said, well, the Holy Spirit was sitting here for the church, and when the church is gone, the Holy Spirit's going to leave. And then that left me thinking, well, then how are the the people that get saved during the tribulation going to be led, you know.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was very helpful. Thank you very, very much.
Yes. Well, God bless you, dear. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs. Joni, thank you so much for the call. And we'll go to Deborah. That's where I picked that up. Sorry, everybody. Deborah in Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you so much. Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
I'm from Las Vegas. I mean, well, you already know that. I've lived here for 10 years. I moved from Minnesota. And the reason why I just love your radio station, I know you guys hear this all the time. I praise the Lord for your radio station, and I just want to thank you because, like, one day when I, the first year that I lived here, I just heard Jan Markell. She's from Minnesota. I'm from Minnesota. And I'm like, oh, you know, God's sending me a message. And so anyways, I mean, so I listen to your radio station all the time. And so my question is, are we really going to judge the world, or are we going to judge angels? Because I know Paul says that, but he's also talking to them about because, you know, they were supposed to judge somebody in their church. And so I had a little argument with one of my Christian friends and stuff like that. And it's not a salvation issue, but I mean, it's like, I kind of like to know if, I don't know why, but, you know, are we going to judge the world and angels, do you think?
Both. And I'll just read this for you. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll just start in verse 1. I think the Bible is very clear to understand this. This is concerning disagreements within the church, problems with people and all. It says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and do not before the saints? Literally, you should go to the saints first to get these things resolved. And he goes on and says this in verse 2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world, and the world will be judged by you? Are you unworthy then to judge the smallest matters? Verse 3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more than the things pertaining to this life? And if you have the judgments concerning these things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are the least esteemed by the church to judge? So very clearly he's saying here, look, you're going to judge the world someday. You're going to be judging angels, most likely demons, for the disastrously dastard things that they did to all of humanity. You're going to judge those. So why can't you determine what's right and wrong within your fellowship? Mike, your thoughts.
Well, I think the key is verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 6:3. He raises the question to get them thinking, and that's what you're doing by calling from Las Vegas. Know you not that you shall judge angels? So apparently they already knew that in the new kingdom to come, that we would have our new bodies and we would judge angels. The second part is, how much more things that pertain to this life. So for as far as this world and as far as people, there'll be judgments. But there are judgments, not that we're high potentates or something. It's actually that thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ when he comes back with the church, that we're going to actually be somewhat of a forced righteousness, because there'll be ungodly people living on planet Earth, and we will be in our new bodies. And we will be like him. And somebody wants to think bad or do bad, just our presence in the restaurant or walking down the street, there will be no crime. So we will have this authority, but you don't want to take it to your ego and say, boy, am I going to get even with people? So we want to forgive, and we shall be forgiven. So we have these issues in church, like you just mentioned, is that you bumped heads with a friend of yours, and he's trying to say, listen, there's bigger issues that you don't see yet, so be kind to one another and show goodness and gentleness.
Amen. Mike, or Daryl, any last thoughts?
Well, the Greek word for judge can also mean to rule or govern. And so during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we're going to be governing across the millennial kingdom, the reign of Jesus. And as Mike shared, yeah, and you've shared also, we'll have the mind and the heart of Christ. And we'll be governing those that made it through the tribulation, did not take the mark of the beast, these sheep, and their children and children and children and children they're going to be having. We're going to be reigning and ruling there. And also, whatever, as we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word of God is the judgment, and Jesus is the judge. And so we're obviously in absolute agreement with him as born-again believers through the Word of God, and he will be judging these fallen angels. He'll be judging those who are sinners and so forth who've rejected him to the point of death, the non-believers. And so that same judgment that he has for all will be what we have through him. And so it's that unity that takes place, the unity of the Spirit the Bible talks about through the Word of God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. And we're the bride, he's the bridegroom. So we'll follow him. Mike?
Amen. Darryl, I hope that answers it for you, dear.
Yes, Mike, I really like that, the governing, the about the governing instead. And because, you know, my friend says exactly that Jesus with the word of one word with his mouth, he'll judge everything just like that. To me, I mean, that's what I figured, but I'm just... You know, I guess I was looking forward to going to the millennium and helping to govern, maybe.
Well, yeah. the context very clearly is being able to decide between matters. This is what a judge does. And so in the context, I have to believe that this is speaking that we will, in fact, help judge the world with Christ. And I believe also, and very much, very possible, as you said, Darryl, govern with Christ. But concerning judging angels, the whole context of this is the ability to decipher what's right and what's wrong. And, of course, we know what the angels, the fallen angels, have done, whether you look at the man of Gadara, whether you look at people today that are demon-possessed. These demons have done a lot of harm to all of humanity. And I believe, again, this is part of the stars that fell with Lucifer. And I believe every time they look at human beings, I believe they want to destroy us. Because when God initially made man, he made us a little lower than the angels, the Bible says. But then throughout all of eternity, those that chose to follow him, he'll elevate above the angels and call us his bride. And we will rule and reign with him. So the context is... Yes, I believe we will govern, but I also believe we will judge. And when we look at the judgment of the authority that God gives us as believers in those creatures that help destroy man, I believe that this is why this judgment has been given to man, because this is whom the crime was against concerning the demons. Yes. Mike, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I do. Darryl, you did a great thing there, bringing out the translation of judge being used in this sense as govern. And it made me think of this lady. I can tell it hurts her that she and her friend had a misunderstanding. But I've been praying for 55 years for my brother. And just think of anybody that's left over in the tribulation that we know from our family, and we will be governing around them. And the Lord is just so gracious, and he's not making us be big shots or really powerful people that we get gained, because we're like him. We're made in his image and his likeness now, purely. And so it's all going to be with love, and love covers a multitude of sin. And so it's not the judgment, it's the governing. Just I was with the San Diego Police Department for 42 years, and 9 of those I was on the streets as a reserve. And just the uniform and the badge stopped things from happening without any confrontation. And just us being in the spirit, in our spiritual bodies, just them seeing us will strike fear in their hearts, and there won't be any confrontation. It's, we're governing just by who we are in Christ. And the church needs to wake up to that, because we could make a big difference in the world if we only all tithe and if we only all prayed. we'd be governing quite well without being in charge of it, but bringing more peace.
Hope that answers it for you.
Sure. Can I just ask another question real quick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just about, I know the church is the bride of Christ, but is Israel also a bride? Or is it just Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem?
I don't believe Israel is the bride of Christ. I believe those that in the Jewish nation that choose Christ, as the Bible says, in the last days they'll mourn for him as they would mourn for an only son. Their eyes are opened. I believe, yes, they will be included. But the bride of Christ are those people who have been washed in Christ's blood. Daryl, any last thoughts on that?
Yeah, the Bible says, I think it's Ephesians chapter 1 or 2, says that we're Jew and Gentile are one, and as we've come to Christ for salvation, we are the body of Christ, so all believers that are, whether they be Jewish or they be Gentile, as we are born again of the Holy Spirit, we're all one together. There'll be those saved, as we talked about earlier, in the tribulation period. They'll be part of the body of Christ and the work of God's kingdom for the millennial kingdom of God. The Jewish people, they were, in the Old Testament, they were married to God, but yet they committed adultery against him by embracing the foreign gods, and you saw the hedge of protection removed from them, and so much judgment took place through the Assyrian invasion in 722 B.C., then 586 B.C. was the Babylonian invasion, and then they're ruled by the Medo-Persians, the Grecians, and the Romans, and on it goes. And yet God has been trying to woo the Jewish people back to himself, even by sending his only son, and then they rejected his son. Now, many Jews have come to salvation, but unfortunately, majority of the Jewish people have not come to that salvation that's found in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Deborah, I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you so much for everything. You guys have a blessed day.
All right, dear, keep listening. Let people know about CSN. And stay online. We'll send you out some books, DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. Let's go to Ralph, also in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you, pastors. Firstly, I would just like to say I'm a Christian, and I believe in God. I believe in Jesus' saving works. And I also believe that God's wisdom is beyond us. No man will ever attain God's wisdom. And in that sense, but nonetheless, God asked us to seek him, to get to know him, understand his nature. So my question touches on three concepts. That would be God as the creator of human beings, creator of all of us, God's omniscience, and man's free will. So if we compare Paul and Judas, these individuals in the Bible, if God didn't create Judas, as he said, it would have been better for Judas not to have been born, and only created Paul, would that have eliminated free will? Because I'm not sure it does, in the sense that Paul, throughout his life, would still have practiced free will. Even if we put David or Job or Moses, all throughout the heroes in the Bibles, they exercised free will and they chose God. So I guess, could God not have just created individuals who he knows, because of his omniscience, would turn to him, would repent and believe, and not create those who he know for him that wouldn't?
Well, I think one of the greatest issues here that we sometimes fail in our finite bodies is that God lives in all times present. We find this in Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 22. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last. God lives in all times present. This is why God could say, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Does that mean he was predestined to be a bad guy, Esau? No. It's just that God knew the decisions that Esau would make in his life. He lives in all times present. Now, we're in a learning curve here. This is why Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say to those that are predestinated or anything like that. Just because God knows the future doesn't stop any individual today from living their life the way they want to live it. Now, there are rewards for living righteously, and there is condemnation and judgment for those that choose to rebel against God. That is not God's fault, because God knows how we choose. People may say, well, then why do we have to go through this zoo we call living every day if God already knows the outcome? It's because we don't know the outcome. It isn't for God's benefit. It's for our benefit to know, when we get to heaven someday, how we got there. We got there because we chose Christ. It isn't just whammo, we're a bunch of robots and God created us to love him and okay. No, we're choosing to love God by our free will. What's amazing about Judas Iscariot, as an example, Jesus knowing in advance that he would betray him, and whether you look at the Last Supper, the one that betrays me is at the table with me, we know that Jesus fully well knew that Judas Iscariot eventually would betray him. People say, well, why did Jesus pick him then? Well, I think a lot of times, I think even in this, we see God's grace and God's mercy. People say, well, God would never pick me. I'm too bad. Or God would never choose me. I'll do things wrong. Even knowing what Judas Iscariot would do, God still picked him. Now, of course, I don't believe he went to heaven, of course. Been better for him not to have been born. But just because a person makes bad decisions in their life doesn't mean God won't have anything to do with them. Judas wouldn't repent. Peter did. They all denied Christ, if you will, but it was Peter that said, Lord, and began to cry out in his tears, saying, forgive me, and God did, which God would have done for Judas. Judas had a partial repentance. He went back to the Sanhedrin and threw the money down on the table, on the floor, and stomped out. It was a type of repentance, but it wasn't a repentance of his soul. It was regret, but it wasn't repentance. And this is why I believe Jesus said it had been better for that guy never to have been born. But Jesus picked him anyway, and I believe that is to show everyone that no one is beyond the grace and the forgiveness of God if we'll just simply take it. Now, boy, you guys, I really want you to weigh in on this, Mike, Darrell, as we come back on the second half. We're coming up on a break. Don't go away because we're going to have a whole lot more to Every Man an Answer. And Rolf, we're going to come back to your question on the other side. You don't go away as well. We'll be right back.
How do we change our nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn reaches into the heart of mothers and babies through heartbeats. The ultrasound is the weapon, and the heart is the game changer. Here's how a nurse describes it.
When she saw the picture of her baby on ultrasound and saw that beating heart, it was a defining moment that just broke her. And she said, I just can't allow this baby to be killed, for her own words.
By letting a mother hear her baby's heartbeat and see her baby in her womb, you're empowering her to choose life.
I cannot tell you how many times a baby's life is saved through ultrasound. It's just an incredible tool.
Preborn Network clinics offer life, love, and a brighter future for mothers and babies. Your caring, tax-deductible gift saves lives. To learn more, visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is. For example, it's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Terry Man Answer on this Thursday afternoon broadcast with Mike McIntosh, former pastor of the wonderful Horizon International Fellowship that started ministries all over the world. Mike's a world evangelist as well as a pastor. And of course, Darrell Skinner there in Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, for many, many years sharing the gospel. I'm so glad you guys are with us today. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. We were speaking with Rolf when we went to the break. And again, understanding, again, this free will and God's purpose. Your thoughts, Mike?
Well, Ralph, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed the way you worded and phrased your question. Was there an underlying thought? Because you almost got close to speaking of a doctrine known as Calvinism. And are you struggling with trying to figure out if you have free will or not? Or is this a theological question in general?
For me, it's a theological question in general. I know we all have free will, but I'm a skeptic in the way that I want to understand God's nature.
Yeah.
Although, like what I said, that we would never be able to attain the full knowledge about God and understand him fully. But yeah, so.
Okay. You know, in Colossians, it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Christ Jesus, the Bible teaches. So if I'm able to let this mind of Christ Jesus be inside me, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be some superhuman, but it does mean that I have the potential of being made in the likeness and the image. And one of the images of God is that he made choices. He chose there'd be a night and a day, there'd be a man and a woman. He chose there'd be a left and a right, an up and a down. And think of all the stars. Psalms tell us that he numbered all the stars and he calls them all by name. Now, I don't think we have the capacity to do those things. The human brain just couldn't compute it that quickly, I don't think. But to be able to put you at peace, I had the choice for 26 years of my life to live it the way I wanted. And I ended up one night at a party. The men had put a bag over my head, tied my hands behind my back, and put a gun to my head, and they were going to kill me. Now, I made the wrong choice of hanging out with those people, and I made the wrong choice of being at that party. But when Jesus came to me, I made the right choice. So it shows me that as a human, God gives us both a wrong choice and a right choice, but we get to make the choice. And since I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and I was born again, and I try to read that chapter of the Proverbs every morning, I try to get the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God, the Bible tells us, love covers a multitude of sin. So if a person wants to know the truth, Jesus said, I am the truth, and the truth shall make you free and set you free indeed. So that should put you at peace, that we all have the options like God to choose. And Jesus talked quite a bit about choosing. A broad road leads to destruction. A narrow road leads to eternal life. The broad road, many people make choice to go on it, and it leads to destruction. And only a few people make the choice to eternal life. In fact, Jesus said, when I return to earth, will I even find faith on the planet? Which means it's not going to be a lot of people compared to those that are going to be destroyed by their own free will and their choice. Because like the man in hell, if he had known what hell was like, he would have made a different choice. And he wanted to make that choice for his five brothers and his father. And Abraham said, if we sent somebody from the dead, they wouldn't believe. So see, he made a choice, and the point of choice is that there are ramifications to choice. And where you're searching is the right place to be searching, because the ramifications of the choices at the level you're looking at are eternal. And if you don't make the right choice, you can't blame that on God. It was your choice. If you do make the right choice, you can't blame that on God. He gave you the opportunity to choose. And if you want him, he wants you. Does that help you a little bit?
So, yes, I totally understand that. And I do believe wholeheartedly that we have free will. I guess my question focuses more on those individuals who would take the broad road that leads to damnation. If God didn't just create them, then that still doesn't that still creates free will. I mean, we still have free will. He just didn't create right. those who he fully knew. That's not gonna choose him. But still, those people, the free will still exists.
Well, yeah. Otherwise, right. we're just a bunch of robots, and God didn't want that. See, the whole thing is in heaven. The angels, all they ever saw was the majesty, the glory of God. That's all they've ever seen. And so would people really choose me? There's a story that I read that was really kind of cute. It was about a prince, and he told his father, I want to marry somebody that loves me, not for who and what I have. And so he put on pauper clothes and went into the local towns there in his country and just began to socialize with the locals. And he fell in love with this girl. And he asked her to marry him. She said she would. And after they were married, they're on their way to his house, his real house. And as they're going up the thing, they pass, they go out of town. And she goes, where are you taking me? He goes, I'm taking you to my home. Oh, I thought you lived in town. No. And as they went, pretty soon, the castle doors open and they go inside. See, she fell in love with him for who he was, not for what he had. And even today, this is a real problem with love. It's always conditional. I love you because you have this. I love you because you have that. I love you if you do this. I love you if you do that. But real love that comes from God is unconditional. Well, how would God really be able to prove to us as humans if we didn't have a choice? So God gave us a choice. Do you love me because you love me, having never seen my majesty, my glory? And we have a picture of this when Abraham told the unnamed servant to go find his son Isaac a bride back to his home people. And he said, the servant said, the one that offers to water the camels, a true servant, is the one that I believe you picked for my master's son. And so Rebecca comes up and says, hey, can I water your camels? Now, that was probably a good half a day's job and a very laborious job to pull water out of a well all day long. These camels can drink a lot of water. And so as they did that, he begins to give her gold and chains and all these things, then meets their parents and said, would your daughter come be my my servant's, my master's son's wife? And she said, having never seen him, having never known what he had, never having saw his looks, very much like us concerning Jesus. I've never been to God's heavenly kingdom. I've never seen Jesus face to face. And we as Christians go, I'll go. And that's what Rebecca did too. I'll go. And we find that, always love that story about when Isaac saw her for the first time. So anyhow, Daryl, any last thoughts?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, you guys. One last thought, I guess, is that to understand true love, you have to come to Christ. You have to come to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus also said, no greater love is any man than this, than laying down his life for his friends. You're my friends. If you do what I command you, this is my commandment, that you love one another. To understand true love, you come to Christ and you receive the agape love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and your life is changed. And that's a freedom of choice. You can either live for sin or you can live for the Savior. But to understand the fullness of love, you have to come to God, for that is his nature. God is love, the Bible says. God is life, the Bible says. God is light, the Bible says. And as we come to that nature of God, the nature of God then comes into us by the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, and our lives are changed. We get to experience it. Judas did not want that. He did not want that for his life. He was a thief, he was a liar, he was a betrayer, and that was his life. And thus, he ultimately murdered himself. He came to his own self-destruction. God is a giver of life. So this is what's the value of God's nature and getting to know him and the freedom of choice that we all have. Many times in the scriptures we see, we have an understanding of God's understanding of all things because he's omniscient, and we get glimpses of it, but from our perspective, we don't fully understand all things because we're finite, we're not infinite. And thus we then understand through the scriptures what's going on within people's lives, whether they're going to be a betrayer or they're not going to be a betrayer. You know, they're going to be a John the Beloved or they're going to be a Judas Iscariot. So anyway, Michael, give it back to you.
Ralph, hope that answers it for you.
Thank you, Pastor. Can I just say, I think it's very important. So while I was asking this question, I think an answer came to me as well, listening to you, and I'm really amazed how God works. So I think an answer came to me is that even though God knew Judas, what Judas was going to do, he still created him because he wants to love him, and he wants to show his grace to him. I think that
came to me. And that's what I'm saying. People say, well, God would never love me. I've done too many things wrong. Jesus reached out to Judas Iscariot knowing that he would betray him and still gave him an opportunity to go to heaven. Man, I'll tell you, there is nobody without an excuse. I'll tell you. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm thinking, Ralph, about this scene at the Last Supper. You know how Jesus said we're the salt of the earth. What good is the salt if it loses its savor? It's good for nothing but to be cast on the ground, stomped on by men. Well, Judas had the opportunity to be salt that was good for something, but he didn't take that road. But here's how God used it. Everyone around the table said, once Jesus said, there's one among you that is going to betray me. Salt can be an irritant. And it caused those men to say, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Their hearts were being penetrated by a man whose heart turned from Jesus. And yet Jesus used him to be able to strengthen that which remains around that table.
So I hope that answers it for you, Ralph.
Thank you so much, Pastor Seth.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVD. And with that, we'll go to Joe in Bozeman, Montana. Hi, welcome.
Yes, I listen to you guys all the time and I watch your service on TV even. You guys are really good, and I really like everything you do for us. My question is, there's a lot of accusations about the faith advisor for Donald Trump, Paula White. What would your view be on that?
Okay, well, she's not the only one. There's several others. I think Donald Trump trying to reach out to the faith community, which is really kind of foreign from Obama and, of course, Biden. We realize that, you know, in order to really be a good governor, you have to realize you're under governance by God. And I think this is what Trump was trying to do. Now, again, when we have some of these people that are out there and some of the theology isn't real sound, doesn't mean that Donald Trump buys into all of that. Your thoughts, Mike?
Well, I think that's the good way to look at it. I learned from the Reagan administration there were a lot of really good people around him. And Jerry Falwell at that time, you know, had the moral majority. Mike, you remember him. And
yes.
I got to know him, and I got to understand Mr. Reagan a little bit, too, because he helped me personally help get Christians out of the Middle East and out of Russia and open doors. But they know and understand that the evangelical community, though it sleeps and 20 million of us don't vote, they do know that whoever gets the evangelical community on their side will probably win. So I agree with Mike. Doctrinally, spiritually, a woman should not usurp authority over a man or to teach a man. And yes, she's the pastor of a church. And that was forbidden in the pastoral epistles. But she is from Florida, where Mar-a-Lago is, and he is trying to please everybody. So it's not a ministry that he has. It's the broader picture. And I can tell you this as a fact. There are some really, really strong born-again, Bible-believing, reading, studying, praying, giving Christians that are at the highest levels of the administration and in the military and also in the law enforcement. And Secret Service is going through a complete revamping right now because of the Lord. So I'm glad you asked that question. I'm not saying she's a bad lady. I've never met her before, but I just know biblically there it's not scriptural, but she has been used to open a department called the spiritual
prayer or spiritual committee that they do now stand up for Christian issues and don't let the left side of the house speak down against the freedom of speech, freedom of the Bible, freedom of choice of where your kids get taught and how they get taught. So there is good, but I'm with you that how do you think about it?
Yeah, and even with abortion clinics that they can do whatever they want. You know, Christians will be out on public streets and saying, you know, don't kill your baby, and they're arrested, which is in violation of the First Amendment. But the previous administration just didn't care about that. They're always saying about how, Donald Trump is destroying our democracy. Our democracy was quickly eroding under the previous. And so what they've cleverly done is they've substituted the word communism for democracy. Donald Trump is eroding communism. Yes, he is. And the very first thing in Karl Marx's book, when you look at all of this, is you want to accuse those that you want to bring down of the very thing that you're doing. They're the ones that want to destroy democracy. They're the ones that want to change the laws and overthrow without. Again, Elon Musk, who is he? Nobody voted for him. Well, nobody voted for these loony judges either, but they're doing it. And besides that, Musk isn't a judge. He was just an employee helping out the president. Now, we have to understand 93% of the American news media, like ABC, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, these 93% of everything they report is negative about the president. Somebody said, well, if they work on it hard enough, they'll get it up to 100%. You see, that's the problem. Our news is phony baloney. It's not just junk news. It's lying news. And they keep getting busted and lawsuits after lawsuits for falsely and Mike, reporting bogus stuff. Go ahead, Mike.
Mike, on the other side, the Christian community needs to keep their allegiance with the throne of God. Make America Great is a nice slogan, but not one leader, including this leader, has brought the American citizens to their knees to ask God to forgive our nation for our sins. Amen. And when the Twin Towers went down, why did they go down? Something like that usually happens when judgment is coming. And nobody has repented. In fact, we became so greedy we could buy as many houses without any credit and sell them and flip them and whatever, and they kept us distracted. Be careful that making America financially great again is not the same as making America spiritual, humble, meek, gentle, and schools filled with Bibles, with every generation building up to the next generation with God in their vocabulary.
Yeah, it's how you measure greatness. If you're measuring greatness, even in your own personal life, well, I've got a big fat wallet and, my business is doing good and I'm successful. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Well, that can be said for any individual, any family, any community, any nation. And so I believe all those have to be considered. Joe, I hope that answers your question for you.
I just wanted to add one more thing. If Trump is a newly born-again Christian, which a lot of people think that he is, he will eventually see through all of that.
I think he's doing what he can do. Certainly we know that the dark side is trying to stop him. You know, any particular party that stands for the overthrow of your nation through invasion, porous borders, chopping up little children, any party that stands for the slaughter of the unborn, any political party that is so soft on crime, they'll help you commit it. You know, I've been watching a lot of this stuff with these Democrat judges, with these illegal people in their own homes. In fact, in New Mexico, this judge was actually allowing him to take his daughter's AK-47 with silencers and go to shooting ranges to hone in on his skills. Well, as I look at senators flying to El Salvador, this smacks of organized crime, everybody. I haven't seen that. I've read a lot of commentaries on this stuff. But when you have this at this level, I believe, friends, this is organized crime. Because why would you be doing this? And why are these judges coming out with these illegals that they're supporting? And these senators and all these things. Friends, organized crime is where you're getting a kickback somewhere. And I've got to conclude that there is, my dad always had a saying, if something doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. And I go, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, if you can't figure it out, there's more to the story than you're seeing. And that's why you can't figure it out. So why are all these judges, why are all these senators also concerned about criminals? Well, it's amazing to me. It just smacks of organized crime. Something to think about. Joe, hope that helps. And stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Let's go to LaVon in Sun Valley, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I just have a question. When we die, are we with the Lord? Because I know in 2 Corinthians 5:8 it says that, you know, we wish to be with the Lord, or, you know, and we would rather be away from the body and home with the Lord. And if we are with the Lord when we die, when we take our last breath, then where does 1 Thessalonians 4:16 come in, where it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first? I mean, why would a person rise if we're already with the Lord?
Well, the cemeteries are full of shells. That's what I call the earth suit that we all wear right now is going to return back to the dust. And the mortuaries are full, cemeteries are full of memorial parks are full of these bodies. Now, absent from the body, present with the Lord, your spirit goes to be with the Lord immediately. The Bible's very clear on that. In fact, whether it's Jairus's daughter or the little boy that Elijah brought back to life, when they were brought back to life, it says their spirit returned to them. It doesn't say it woke up inside of them. It says that it returned to them. Absent from the body, our spirit's with the Lord, but our body stays behind. This is why in the book of Acts, when they stoned Stephen, it says, and he fell asleep. Not his spirit, but his body. Now, this that you quote out of Thessalonians is where our spirit reunites with a corrupted body transformed to incorruption. And then Paul says, us that are alive and remain in a moment, twinkling of an eye, we will be caught up to be with him in the air. We'll be transformed. This mortality, your body that dies, is going to put on immortality. And for those that have gone on before us, it's simply their spirit reunites with the body. Now, why is it? Well, evidently, we're going to need some kind of a body to rule and reign with Christ here on this earth for 1,000 years. And I think the timing of it is pretty interesting. Paul says we're not exactly sure what we're going to be, but we know when we see him, we're going to be like him. And I believe we'll have that same glorified body that can go through walls, that can vanish out of people's sight, as he did with those the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And yet at the same time, eat fish and do all those kinds of things as well. It's going to be great. A body of a different dimension, a body that is not corrupted. Our bodies are. That's why we don't go much longer than about 110, 120. We're done. But again, I believe that's where I'm at. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, I think, by the way, you live in a little slice of heaven there in Sun Valley. We envy you a little. 2 Corinthians 5:6 and 5:8 sort of put your answer together, and he's using common sense and reasoning. 2 Corinthians 5:6 says, therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Then verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So he defines the two. We're away from the Lord, we're with the Lord. And this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it's when we die that the spirit leaves in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. And the closest I've been able to, a scholar from Oxford told me, twinkle is less than 1/1 trillionth of a second.
So that transformation is going to be really, really fast. Levon, I hope that answers it for you. We're out of time. And Tony, the rest, please, if you'll call us back tomorrow, we'll put you on. No waiting, I promise. And we'll get right to your question. Daryl, thank you so much for being part of the program today.
Thank you.
Your answers and all, always appreciate it. Mike, such a blessing to be with you again. Mike McIntosh, and thank you again, Mike, for being on. Look forward to being back with you. So until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Good night.
Idaho 83303. That toll free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.